discussed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, of Lama Zayinim Aleph. The Gemara uses the pasuk Suga Basheshanim. Suga Basheshanim means a hedge of roses or a fence of roses. The Harfakas Nezikin are called, what the Gemara discusses, says, even if it was just a hedge of roses, that B'nai Yisrael are able to be marked themselves, Ish V'Isha, B'Shas Nidasa, even if it was just a hedge of roses between the man and the wife. Suga B'Shoshanim. So I heard B'Shem Rav Gifter, why is the term used, Suga B'Shoshanim? Why is a hedge of roses the description of that which separates man and wife, Peshas Nidasa? So Rav Gifter said that the Peshat is like this. A hedge of roses is a very flimsy fence. The only thing that stops a person from trampling upon the hedge of roses and breaching the barrier is a person recognizing the beauty of the hedge of roses. If a person recognizes the beauty of it, so a person is will not try to mar its beauty. And in truth, that's really the bedrock of the Harchokos Nida that we're going to discuss tonight. The Harchokos Nida are there, of course, to separate man and wife in the time of Nida, that she shouldn't come to any Yisurim. That they shouldn't come to any Yisurim. But it also makes the other times, and it makes the times when they're mutter, it takes the relationship to a different level. In terms of Harchokos Nida, I want to discuss something that comes before Harchokos Nida. And that, the truth is, we have to understand Bichlal, the different levels of Isurim, of Isurei Arayis, on all Arayis, not just Nida, or anyone in the Parsha of Arayis, that there is an Isur, of course, of at least Kares in all the Arayis, and that's an Isur in having marital relations. Any of the Arayis would be a Chi of Kares. What about Chibuk V'Nishuk? Chibuk V'Nishuk is touching, which includes touching any touching derech chibuk, okay? Any contact, physical contact that is mitzad, comes from chibuk, comes from wanting to have a closeness, a physical closeness. So this is certainly asur. The question is it asur midiraisa or is it asur midirabbanan? The Rambam holds this is an absolute issur deraisa. The Rambam holds it comes from leisikrivu legalei sarvasam, that there's an issur leisikrivu chiba negiya derechiba and chibuk v'nishuk is an issur deraisa. The Ramban holds it's only an issur, it's an issur derabbanan, but certainly it is also. What about negiya shaloi kederechiba? Shaloi derechiba be'etzem meikar hadin. All arayas are really mutter. Negiya shaloi derechiba. Now, negiya shaloi derechiba does not include things that are by definition chiba. L'moshul, this is going to major machlokes in the poskim. Shaking one's hand, shaking a woman's hand is bichlal. It could be that shaking a hand by definition is a korva, is a connection. Since it's a connection, so that can never be shaloi kederechiba. But this is a major machlokes in the poskim. I'm not going to get into it. If it's nageya, it's a nageya in it's nageya to anyone specifically. I could discuss the issue with you. I could just tell you this that many poskim hold that it's mamash a chelik of negiyah derechiba, and it could be that there's that certainly not the Rambam, it could be it's an abizrayo derayis, and the Chazvish writes in a place that it's taka, it's yarek val yavar. So it's a davar chomer, and one has to really ask a shayla legabi this thing. That's legabi all arayis. But what about the yisr nida of meinish leishta? The yisr nida over there, negiyah shaloi derechiba, is also awesome. Okay, any negia, any physical contact between man and wife, physical contact touching, is 100% usur in the Harchokos Nezikin. Now, this touching is not only touching derech, touching skin to skin, but it's also touching any begodim, any clothing derech begodim is usur. Okay, now something that some people might not know, but it's before it's in the poskim. What about touching a beged that his wife is wearing. A beged that your wife is wearing is also asur when she's in either. Begadim that she's not wearing is not asur. But begadim that she's wearing, even if the part that you're touching is not really on her, lamashal, a flap of a coat or a dress or anything like that, has the halacha that it's asur to touch. There are many poskim. Rav Hashulchan writes also that if a person is going to sit so close to his wife, where both their respective begadim will touch each other, that is also asur. This is very nageya when you're in a car. It's nageya if you're going on a plane ride. It's nageya in terms of where you're able to sit, and these things are 100% asur b'shas midas. Now, touching is one level, but the Shulchan Aruch clearly says la yoshit miyada liyada shum davar. Person is not allowed to hand he's not allowed to hand to his wife, not allowed to hand to him anything, even if there's no shaykhis to them touching. It's going to be a 10-foot pole, it's 100% asr, liyashit, liyada, liyada. Now, this is also true about throwing something. To throw something to your wife, or for your wife to throw something to you, is 100% asr, you're not allowed to do that. Now, what about throwing something directly up? So directly up in the ear. Mashal, to throw something towards you, so my koyach is represented in the object that's being thrown. So that's as if I'm handing it to you. But there's a concept of, that's koyachai. What about koyach koyachai? Lamashal, gravity. I throw something directly up in the ear and it comes down. Over there are paiskim that want to be makel because over there it's actually the gravity that's pulling the thing down. So in a situation where lamashal, it can't be traveling forward, it has to be going directly up. Lamashal, you have the car keys, and your wife has to get the car keys from you. You don't want to put them down, you have nowhere to put them down. So, theoretically, in such a situation, you could throw it up in the air, and she could catch it on the way down. Now, Rav Moshe was asked a very interesting question. He says, what about the other people who are around, and you're embarrassed? You're embarrassed to put to Lamashal, you have the cell phone, and you're at a chasana, and your wife wants the phone. So, you can't hand your wife the phone, you want to put it down on the table in front of her, whatever. So, everybody's going to know she's an either. Rav Moshe wants to know if there's a heter in such a situation because of embarrassment. And Rav Moshe writes over there a very interesting thing. He says he doesn't understand what the embarrassment exactly is for a woman to be an either. Women are nidus and women are not nidus. It just depends on the time of the month. In fact, the Gemara discusses how women were muchsik benidasa v'shchenta. Our neighbors knew that certain begadim they used to wear special begadim when they were nidus. They didn't want to get their other begadim dirty. So he clearly writes over there that there's no issue bichlal about embarrassment, and one has to fear stuff like that. Now, very major shaila. What about a baby? Handing a baby over from man to wife or wife to man. So the Piskei Tshuva talks about a baby, handing over a baby, and he discusses the issue of chai noisei asatzma. If the child can walk on its own, so he discusses a possible heter of handing the child. Now this is a very big chiddush, because the heter of chai noisei asatzma has to do with Isurei Shabbos, it has to do with whether you're actually carrying the child. But handing the child over, the whole idea of hachokas nida is an issue of coming close to the person, and in other words, it's an extension of touching the person. So this is a major question, and most poskim hold that even in such a situation, one is not allowed to hand over the child. However, let's say a child, and this is a very negadic thing, the child actually, if you put your hands out to the child will come to you. That is mutter. Most poskim hold that is mutter. So if the child will move towards you, you're not handing the child over to the other person, but the child is going from your hands to your wife's hands, or your wife's hands to you, that would be most poskim mutter. The poskim talk about, what about kissing a child? Okay? What about a wife kissing a child that's in a husband's arms, or vice versa? That the poskim all say is 100% asur. That's clearly a derech chibur, and one should not do that. Legabe, the shaila is asked, it's a very common shaila, what about kvater? What does one do in terms of kvater? If a person is offered kvater and his wife is a nida, in terms of handing the baby certainly is not a chai nais yisatzmai. Chai nais yisatzmai is a klal only when a child can actually walk and move. But a baby, an 8-day-old baby that's going to a bris, certainly does not have the ability to move. It certainly kafos. There's really not much of a heter. Over there, one should ask a shayla. Most poskim hold that one should decline in the situation. and should not take fatah. There are truths from Rav Meisher about this. The discussions that people bring different things, but a person should ask a shayla b'shas meisa. What about? That could be an eitzah, but l'maisa, the way kfatah is done, it's okay. And some people would feel squeamish about that, even though Rav Meisher says they shouldn't feel squeamish. They would feel squeamish about announcing that. What about carrying an object together? Okay, Rav Meisher in the tshuva writes one way. He discusses if a person is carrying a package, can he carry the package with his wife? So Rav Meisher says certainly if the item is kal, is light. So the fact that you're carrying it together is a connection, is a closeness. In other words, it's not out of necessity that you're carrying it together. So Rav Meisher says over there it's clearly usur. But let's say it's a very heavy item, right? It's a very, very heavy item. You want to carry the treadmill up to your bedroom. It's very heavy. You need your wife to help you. Is that something that's mutter? So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, Rav Moshe writes that he doesn't know a makor to aser. There's no makor really to aser, but it's not going to be machmer. However, if you look by Rav Shimon Eider brings that he heard from Rav Moshe directly that if one doesn't have another option, so carrying something together, if it's very, very heavy, if the person can't do it on his own, that is not nichlal in the isser and it's mutter. Just certain different scenarios in terms of handing. Many poskim hold. Let's say your wife, you want to put something in your wife's pocket, or vice versa. That is usser. If she's holding a pocketbook or a bag to take something out or putting something in, put something in is also usser. What about holding an umbrella for your wife and walking with the umbrella and covering and protecting her with the umbrella? That the later Paiskim also say that is mutter. The Piskei Tshuva brings a very interesting shaila. L'mashal, this is nageh to havdalah. If your wife is holding havdalah, can you light the havdalah? Or if the person, this most people won't do it in front of their wives anymore, but smoking a cigarette. So can a wife light a cigarette for a husband or vice versa? The Piskei Tshuva clearly says that lighting a fire is a chibur. The Eish of lighting a fire is a chibur, is a connection, and that's mamish like that's like handing something to his wife. There's a very interesting shaila. Also, the Paiskim also say not only carrying something together but pushing something together, pushing a stroller together is also something that's also yes. That would be is that EF? It's certainly possible to do without her. That you shouldn't do that. Should that? Well, I always have the shayla. This happens very often. You're having company, right? And you want to put the leaf in the table, right? So are you allowed to do that? So the truth is, to open it up, you're pulling in opposite directions. And the truth is, pushing it together, l'chayra, I don't see that there should be an issue, because you're really doing two different separate things. It happens to be coming together in the middle, but l'chayra, you're not actually carrying the same thing or pushing the same thing. The leaf itself, putting the leaf in together, if you could do it yourself, you should do it yourself. I mean, and if you have another rate with someone else, you should also carry it. Paiskim talk about her besanim. That her besanim, you're not allowed to smell her besanim, but l'chayr, if she's holding besanim, I don't know anything mafurish about that. I would think it's mutter. I don't see mafurish on that. The Piskei Tshuva right in the beginning talks about schoik and kalas rosh. Schoik and kalas rosh. So if you look at the Piskei Tshuva, he brings right here the asur lahariach mipsamim shelah. It's also to smell her psamim. Asha teira ihi the suga b'shoshanim mikomakim yesh leisrachik. The similar dava suga b'shoshanim. The tzarich siyag gam b'shoshanim. You need a siyag even in her shoshanim. That's her psamim. But stam psamim, I don't think it is. And that over there, by the way, her perfume is also even if it's on hashulchan. Even if she's not wearing it, even if it's al hashulchan, they used to whip psalm, and it wasn't like a spray. They used to whip psalm like a psalm around the neck, or whatever. So even if it's on the table, that would be awesome. Okay. I saw very many years ago, I didn't have a chance to look at it, there's a very interesting shaila that the Ber Moshe talks about. What about playing ping pong with your wife? Okay? So playing ping pong, so he goes through a whole shaila because you're really not trying to catch the ball, you're really trying to get her out. So you try to hit the ball, hit the balls that she doesn't hit it. So he goes through a whole shmooze over there. I think that the Isser might not be an Isser of handing, it could be an Isser of schaik and kalas resh. The halacha is, I mean, it's really the first halacha, chayv adam lifresh miyista be made to masa at shetisper v'tivtikbo until she goes to mikvah. V'lo yischaik v'lo yakel resh ima. You know, a person is not allowed can't be seichek, can play, and should not be yakel resh, should not have kalas resh, should not have lightheadedness. Now, what does it mean, lightheadedness? Okay? And the Ramah comments on this, afilu bidvarim. Even in speech, even in a conversation, in talking to your wife, a person is not allowed to have lightheadedness. So, the Shach's comment on this is, imargilim le'erva. Lo yidaber bohan ima. So he's talking about that which you're discussing in conversation, it can't be something that is a suggestive, it can't be something that's margil le'erva. It can't be something that is a suggestive conversation, it can't be something that could possibly bring to a korva. And the truth is, this is something that's very hard to legislate. Tzchoik v'kalas reish doesn't mean having fun. Tzchoik v'kalas reish has to do with the fact the person has to realize what is happening over here. If what's happening over here is something that's going to be margul, that's possible to be margul a day of era, it's 100% usur. And if it's something that's not suggestive in any way, so then it would be mutter. In terms of eating together, the Shulchan Aruch going systematically through the Shulchan Aruch. There are many different facets to eating together. I'm going to discuss three different situations. One is eating at the table. One is kaira achas, okay, eating out of the same pot or plate. And then there's an issue of shiurei mechola, okay, leftover food. In terms of eating together, we all know this halacha has to do with the same halacha that you have in Basa B'cholof. If you're eating at the same table, one is required to have a heker. There has to be a heker eating b'shas. The Chazal understood that eating is a korva, and the truth is, eating together is a connection. It's a korva. It brings people together. So, if one is eating at the same table, a heker is required. A person has to be cognizant of the fact. The people that they're usher to each other, just like by basar b'chalav. If I'm sitting at a table and I know you and you know me, and I'm eating basar and you're eating chalav, we have to have some sort of a hecker to remind us that I'm eating something that's usher, so you shouldn't eat from me. The same thing is true bin ish l'ishli. So what is a hecker? Okay, a hecker can be many different things. The hecker is the point is a person has to realize it's a red flag. Okay, what is that red flag? So the halacha is that a person can have something, something between the husband and wife. It shouldn't be stam on the table. It should be between the husband and wife. That is something that is not normally unusual to be on the table. Okay? Now, it could be something that's very innocuous. It could be you'd have a glass on the table or a cup on the table. Instead of having it right side up, you turn it over. That could be a heker. Okay? Something that's different. It could be a different type of a utensil on the table. Okay? But it can't be something that has no height to it. This is not mefurish really in halacha in Hilchos Rita, but it's mefurish in Hilchos Basar B'cholof. And it has to be something that the eye will catch immediately. It has to be something, it can't be something flat, it can't be a different knife on the table. It has to be something that has some sort of height to it. That's the first thing. Another hekerim would be separate table mats. Okay, if you use a table mats, if you're eating on separate table mats, that is considered as eating on different surfaces, you're not eating together, it's not as easy if you're eating at the same table. So that's considered a heker. Let's say it's not different table mats, let's say you have a double chadash. Very few things are going to be a double chadash. I'm just going through the chazrin halachas. If you have a tablecloth on the table, one person picks up the tablecloth, the same thing with Masa B'cholo, eats on the table, that's also a heker. The Pais can talk about something that you might not know about. Let's say normally you eat with one plate. Let's say sometimes you have a fancy dinner, you have a larger plate underneath it. But that's not normally the way you eat. If you have a larger plate underneath your regular plate, that's also considered a heker. If a person has regular seats, if a man and wife have regular seats, and one of them changes where they sit, b'shas nidasa, that is also considered a heker. There's a major issue in the Paiskim, let's say there are other people at the table. Let's say you have company. Let's say your children are at the table. Is that something that you need a hecker for? The Piskei Tshuva, one can certainly rely on the Piskei Tshuva, even though there are other Paiskim that disagree. If there are other people present at the table that one would not naturally act, would not act amorously with the Derech Chiba to his wife, in front of those people, Lamashal, children that are above age, that a person wouldn't act with Derech Chiba in front of their children, or company, hopefully. So in such a situation, one is not required to have a that is Yigabe eating together at the same table. Now, there's another issue with the Shulchan Aruch discusses, eating out of Kaira Achas, eating out of one pot, or one plate, okay? The Shulchan Aruch clearly says that a man and wife, that with B'shas Midasa, are not allowed to eat out of the same plate. That is 100% us. Now, this halacha, we have to understand, what does it mean? This doesn't mean that out of one serving plate, I can't take a piece of chicken and put it on my plate, and you put a piece of chicken on your plate. That's clearly 100% mutter, because you're not eating out of the serving plate. It has to be that you're directly eating out of the serving plate. Now, when I was a chassid, so I remember discussing the issue, what about eating out of a popcorn bowl, right? A popcorn bowl, nobody takes one piece of popcorn and puts it in his mouth, another piece of popcorn. What do? You take the popcorn, you put it in your hand. Then you eat out of your hand, basically. Okay, so is that like putting it on a plate? I remember this very clearly. The person who taught me this was going through with this. Is that considered? Implied it was a shayla. Okay. Subsequently, I found that Reb Moshe has a very, very interesting kula l'gabi kaira achas. Reb Moshe holds that the only time kaira achas is usur is if it's the type of an eating, if it's the type of an eating that strangers wouldn't do together. L'mashal, okay. If you're at a party, or you're at a whatever, and there's a bowl of popcorn there, many people will put their hands in the popcorn bowl, another person will put it ready. I don't have to know you to do that. Same thing with potato chips. Okay? I don't know if it would be a bag of popcorn if we would eat together rather than the same bag of popcorn. That could be something different, right? You're not going to take another bag of potato chips and give it. I don't know. That's a call. But Reb Moshe holds it has to be something that strangers wouldn't eat together. Again, the idea is the core of the connection. There's a very interesting thing that they discuss, and I don't know how this stems with the last thing I just told you from Reb Moshe. There seemed to be a big machlokes, Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Moshe. The issue was, can you use the same butter? Right? There's the butter in the middle of the table. Can you butter my bread and you butter your bread out of the same thing? So Reb Moshe held that it was 100% mutter. Reb Shlomo Zalman held it was awesome. So, what's the pshat? Why they held that? So the teretz is like this. In America, how do you eat butter? How do you butter your bread? You take your piece of bread. You take the butter. You butter the whole piece of bread, and then you eat. Right? But in Eretz Yisrael, how do they do it? In Eretz Yisrael, what the derech was, that each piece of bread, they would butter a little piece each, butter a little piece each, butter a little piece each. So in that case, we're talking about the whole piece. I'm not sure how that stems, by the way, with the idea that when you're holding it in your hand, it's considered a play with that popcorn issue. Because, you know, it's a little reminder of the fundamental how that was not working. Okay. That's the Yisrael Gabi Kaira. The third part of it that I want to discuss in terms of eating is the halacha of shiurei maicholot. Now this is a very unique halacha because this halacha is only negeya from the woman to the man. It is not negeya from the man to the woman. Shiurei maicholot means leftover, and really the truth is, I should really start off, it's really shiurei kois shalach, because that's really the etymology of the halacha starts from shiurei kois. Meaning, if a woman drinks from a kois, her husband, if she's a nida, her husband is not allowed to drink after that. Her husband is not allowed to drink from that kois after she drank. Okay? That's called shiurei kois of an issue. Now, a woman, if a man drank from a kois, a woman is allowed to drink from his kois. That's 100% mutter. The issue over here was that Chazal understood that men are much more easily inspired to have relations with their wives more than the wife having relations with them. And therefore, there are certain things that would arouse that in the husband, and therefore, shiurei maicholot, shiurei kois were considered asur. The Ramah delineates four exceptions to this halacha. Exception one is if someone is mafsik in between. If she drinks from a kois and someone else drinks in between, it is 100% mutter for him to drink vayter. There's no isser in the chefetz of the kais that becomes asr. The point is, it's not considered shirei machala, shirei kais, if someone else drank. What happens if the husband is not aware that she drank? Again, the object, the whole idea over here is that it's suggestive to him. If he doesn't know that she drank from it, there is no issur. And she's not mechuyav to tell him that she drank from it. Let's say she left. She drinks, right? Let's say if your wife goes and she takes a drink from a bottle of Coke, right? You're not allowed to drink from that. Let's say she leaves now. You're allowed to drink. There's no longer considered a hirhur. It's not going to be anything. The fourth case is if it's poured into another cup. If it's poured into another kais, it is mutar. Now, there is a tshuva from Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe says the following thing. Based on the Ramah says, just like shirei kais or asa, shirei machala or asa. If your wife ate something, right, eats out of a plate, you're not allowed to eat from that plate of the things that she leaves over. If she's present, fine. Now, Rav Moshe said that the halacha of shirei machala, the kulois that you have by shirei machala, by shirei kais, you don't have by shirei machala. Okay, that's what Rav Moshe said. The problem is, if you look at the Taz Afanar, the Taz says, the imhifsik achar beinayim by food, mutter kimoy b'shirei kais b'samah, b'chein b'chol ha'kulay sheyeshnam sham yesh b'zeh. So the Taz says, and somebody calls, there's two, if you look, Rav Moshe, somebody asks Rav Moshe, how could you say that shirei machol doesn't have the heter, these heterim? Taz says, mufurish, that just like these four exceptions, if somebody ate in between, if it was put into another plate, just like in another kais, if she's no longer present, okay, he's not aware, all those things the Taz says is mutter. So how could Rav Moshe say, if you go and you take the piece and you put it into another plate, or you take the other piece and do what? Or you take the piece, somebody eats in between, so it's not, how could Rav Moshe say it's not mutter? Right? Taz says it's mutter. So Rav Moshe explains the following thing, very interesting thing. He says, the two heterim that we're discussing over here, Lagabi, somebody else, Lamashal, by drinking, somebody else drinks in between, or it's poured into another cup. That does not apply to the piece if she ate from a piece of something. Because the whole concept over there is, you have a cup she drank from, now you pour it into another cup, this is no longer the same identity of the thing, it's a different cup of water. Right? It's a different cup. Well, somebody else drank from it, it's no longer considered her shiur. But if there's a piece of food where she ate from, that piece never loses its identity. So Rav Moshe holds, and that's a chumrah, Rav Moshe held very stark, that the piece itself, and Shimonide brings this in the Sefer, if I remember correctly, that Rav Moshe explained this to him, that if it's the actual piece that she ate from, so one does not have the heter of changing the keli, or have the heter of somebody eating in between, because the piece never always retains that identity of being shirei machala. The other two heterim, that certainly would be good. If she left, or she's or he doesn't know she ate from it, that certainly would be good. That's the other issue. So lemaisa comes out a very interesting thing. It depends what she's eating. If she's eating, let's say, a piece of schnitzel or a piece of meat, and she took a bite out of it, so that it wouldn't be mutter because that's the same piece. But let's say she's having rice or anything like that, where it's not the actual piece where she ate from. Over there, you would have the other heter. Another heter, Marshall. Let's say your wife orders something at a restaurant, or she orders something bakhlal. Well, it's something that's too big for her. She can say when she's starting, right? I'm leaving this over. I'm not eating from this part. I'm only eating this part, and then the other part would not be considered. You know, it's part of the plate. She can say it's not considered shirei. Now, would that be this? Even if she says she's finished, she has to move before she's done. It's still shirei mechala. It's shirei mechala. It's part of the. Well, she would have to really say that. That's what it seems like. She said, I'm not even. Now, there's another two halachas that I want to discuss legabi eating. The halacha is that, and this goes both ways, again, shirei mechala is only from woman to man, but not from man to woman. What about, there's another halacha that one is not allowed to be moizei kais, one is not allowed to pour for his wife, and his wife is not allowed to pour for him. Okay, so to pour for a husband to pour for a wife in front of her is usur. Not only that, but to serve that thing in front of her is also usur. But if you poured something not in front of your wife, so nechanami, she can drink from it, she can take it. And if you want to serve her, you have to, or she wants to serve you, or you have, one would have to serve with a shinui. What's considered a shinui? You could use your left hand if you normally use your right hand. You could put it on the person said you could put it on the bench next to her, not on the table in front of her, on the side a little bit. That's fine. Now, what happens over here? Then there's one more halach I want to discuss. The Shulchan Aruch says a person is not allowed to be shaleach koishel yayin. Not allowed to send a koishel yayin to your wife. Not allowed to be shaleach koishel yayin to your wife. Okay, so we have the halachas of shiurei kais, we have the halacha of pouring, and we have the halacha of sending a koishel yayin. So now the shaila is what happens by kiddush. What should one do by kiddush? And I'm going to tell you a very big kula. So lemaisa, when I got married, when I was told the following thing. A person is not allowed to pour for his wife. Right? So you, after your kiddush, you can't go pour a kais and say and give it to your wife, because that's pouring a kais for your wife. Right? But she's allowed to eat, and you're also not allowed to send her your kais, because that's being shaleach a kais shal yayin to her. So, but she's allowed to drink from your shiurei kais. So what do? You drink the kais shal yayin, you drink from your kiddush, and you put it down, and she takes it. That's called shiurei kais, and that's mutter shiurei kais. That is what I was taught. Subsequently, I found that the Satmar Rav, and this is very interesting, he held like this. What does it mean to be shaleach a kais? What it means to be shaleach a kais, and those that were in Sfas last week with Lev Shabbos would know that is there are certain places that the men and the women, they eat separate. They don't eat in the same room. The Satmar Rav held to be shaleach a kais shel yayin means she's in another room. So just to send the kais shel yayin is like, you know, you send someone a letter or send someone from far away, that's a davar shel chiba. You're sending it, I'm thinking about you even though you're not here. But if she's at the other end of the table to say, give this to my wife, that's not called being shaleach kais shel yayin. So he holds that not to pour it for her, but you don't have to just leave it there. You can say, give this to my wife, and that is mutter, and that's what the Satmar Rav held. If it's at the same, if she's in the same room, if she's talking in the kitchen or somewhere else, that would be called being shaleach kais shel yayin. So la halacha, what can one do for kiddush? You could do three things. You could pour a bunch of cups with being indiscriminate, and your wife could take one of them. You could leave your kais and she could take it from you, or you could actually send her your kais, according to the Satmar Rav. Now, okay, there are two more issues I wanted to discuss, and those are the issues. This is a lot of this is just shouldn't be a chazara, but some things might be a chiddush. We all know that one cannot sit, one cannot lay with his wife even if he's fully clothed in the same bed. Mita achas. Mita achas is 100% usur. One has to have, of course, two beds. The beds cannot be connected by a headboard. One has to have two separate headboards. Most places can hold, if you have one headboard connecting the beds, that is considered one bed. The only heter that there is in the Paiskim is if the beds are actually screwed into the wall, so then that's a different thing. That doesn't make them one bed. But otherwise, it is 100% also. Now, you can disconnect it when I've seen it. Now, the beds certainly have to be separate. How separate do the beds have to be? Okay? And this is very negate. You go over to someone's house, right? You're invited to someone's house, right? And you're in this little room, and they give you a high riser thing like this, and there's an inch and a half between the beds. Are you allowed to stay there? You have to tell them. I said, I'm sorry, I have to go right. The halacha is, okay, me'ikr hadin. Me'ikr hadin, the beds have to be separate and mashable. Okay? That's the ikr hadin. Is that the optimal thing to do? 100% not. Many places can think different shiurim. B'di'eved, you don't have to go and announce to the world if you're in such a situation. In your own home, one should not have their beds only a mashivu apart. What are the different shiurim? Well, some places can write that it should be an arm's length away. The bed should be at least an arm's length away, so that if when you're sleeping, if your arm stretches, if your arm goes out. Could you shut that door, please? An arm's length away, that the arm should not touch the other bed. Okay. Other place can bring an amma, and it's brought from the Arizal that it should not be in a situation where the blankets can touch. Okay, where the blankets that are covering you or covering her should touch. Okay. La halacha. Okay. A man is not allowed to sit on his wife's bed, even if his wife is not there. Okay. That's called sitting. Laying on the bed, certainly, that's a. A man is not allowed to sit on his wife's bed, which is neither unless she's not the ear. If she's not the ear, if it's ketubah, she's in the country or in the city, you could sit. But that's only if she's not the ear. Okay? But even if she's not there, if she's working, whatever, she's here, one is allowed to, one is not allowed to. A woman can sit on her husband's bed, even in his presence. But a woman cannot lay on her husband's bed in his presence. This is not for her. This is because it's suggestive to him. If she lays on her husband's bed, it is in his presence, that is also, because that is something that's a double shirt. I can't hear. 100% with it. There's no isser in touching the bed. The isser is unless she's the isser is sitting or laying in the bed. Okay, then.
You choose on the bed. You put somebody down on the bed.
What is it, being a shuffle? It's not sitting on the bed. Now the halacha is also this halacha of sapsal hamisnadneid. Sapsal hamisnadneid means a bench that moves. Okay. One is not allowed, one feels the movement of his wife if he's on a movable surface. So the halacha is a person has a sofa, they're not allowed to sit on the same sofa cushion. We're not allowed to sit, on a swing. Okay? To go rowing or boating, that's not mutter, because you feel each other's movement. It's brought.
Those big swings,
it depends if you feel each other. What do you mean by two separate? I don't know what swing you're talking about.
Porch swings.
Do you feel each other?
It's one
it's moving together, so it's so for it to be awesome. So if it's in between, there's a person, another person in between, that would be mutter, and also on the boat, that would be mutter. What about sitting in a car? Sitting on the same bench in the car. The car is moving. Rav Moshe has a truth about this. Rav Moshe says it's not the person's movement you're feeling. You're feeling the car's movement. It's actually the car moving. So that is something that is mutter. Now I want to talk about something that Lamaisa is something that I think it could be that people tread upon this, and this is absolutely usur. The halacha is that a person is not lo yistakel afilu be'ikva. A person is not allowed to look at his wife even at her heel of her shoe when she is in, of her foot, not her shoe, of her foot when she is in either. Okay? The halacha is 100% usur to see your wife. The mekaymos that have to be covered, mitzad the din of tznius. I remember when I was a chassan, and I asked Rafael David. I asked him, so when my wife's getting dressed and she's in nida, so she has to get dressed in the other room. He says, no, you should go out of the room. Not her, yeah. It's a little chauvinistic on my part. But lemaisa, that is the halacha. A person is not allowed to see mekaymos hamechusim that his wife has to cover. He's not allowed to see above her elbows, not about above her knees, not her halacha is not even the heel of her foot. Okay, there is a major machlokes hapoiskim. What about here? We know that sar b'isha is erva. Sar b'isha is erva, so lechayra this should be a person should not be able to see his wife's hair uncovered. Kimat all the poiske eretz yisrael hold that this is the fact. La halacha, one is not allowed to see his wife's hair uncovered. Kosar b'isha erva b'shas nidasa. Rav Moshe has a kula, and many people are noyeg this kula. He has a very interesting kula. He says, the harchakas of nida are not harchakas mitzad, the fact that it's an erva. It's mitzad, the fact that it's what? That it's something that's suggestive. It's something that's going to be margul. He says, sar might have a din erva, but it's not something that's going to be margul for husband. He says, it's something that's common that he sees all the time. Are here because many times it's uncovered, and certainly when certainly in a casual manner, it's bechal another shmuz. I don't want to discuss it. Look, another heter Moshe has bechal about one woman uncovering her hair in the house. I would just bring up the fact. So Moshe says that this is mutter, it's mutter, and many people are makel, and certainly in America in Eretz Yisrael, it's come out all the places say it's usher. Fine. There's another issue, Lagabe Koil Isha. This is very negay. A woman singing. A woman singing, Lahalacha, the most paiskim hold that Koil be Isha Erva, and a woman singing, she should not sing Bishas Nidasa. Her husband should not hear her singing Bishas Nidasa. If it's middle of mirrors with the whole family, and it's drowned out, there are no other males that are not allowed to hear your wife sing, but then there's makom to be mako. But for her to sing, Stam to sing, that lechera is then a lechera. That is also.
You're
yeah. Yeah, but he called Bishur. He held it. It's more of a suggestive. It's more something that's more. The Kol Bishur is not a chefzer. The error here is like the chefzer there. Right. Now I wanted to also point out that Legabe. This is something that's very nageya. Baruch Hashem, it's nageya. When a woman is giving birth, it is usher to see Mekayim. This is a very difficult thing. It's usher to see. First of all, it's usher. This is something that lessons became a big thing, that they put a mirror in and to show the birth. It is 100% usher to see your wife when she's giving birth. It's usher to see any part of her that has to be makam mechusa. And certainly, Aysa Makam is usher to see any time and to see the birth, to see the child emerging from the birth canal is 100% usher. Now, there are many Paiskim that will tell you, in Paiskim Eretz Yisrael, many hold that a man should not be in the delivery room. Rather, I disagree legabe certain things, legabe the fact that statistically there are less cesareans done. This is a statistic. There are less cesareans done on women whose husbands are present at delivery than not. Okay? Because a husband will be much more circumspect about it if he's there, and he'll stop the doctor and try to have a regular birth. It is certainly best for the wife, even though I happen to argue, and I don't know if I should be taping this. There is no place that a man be'etzem belongs least than when his wife is in the middle of labor giving birth. I mean, because of the helpless feeling, and you really have nothing to, especially you'd be davening in a corner somewhere. But lemaisa, given that statistic, one should be there. One should be there. Pashalas protection for his wife. That's aleph. But you have to be very careful to look away. To be very careful not to see any of the mekaymes hamechusim. When the doctor comes in many times and does an internal exam, person has to turn away. The person should not be nichshol certainly in such a time. That is legabe that. When does a woman become a nida? This is something I did not discuss last week. It's something that's very negative. When does a woman become a nida when she is in labor? Very important halacha. So there are different shiurim given. If a woman's water breaks and the water is clear, most poskim hold she is not a nida. Okay? If a woman is 3 to 4 centimeters dilated, even if she has not yet seen dam, she is already considered to be a nida once she is closer to four, between 3 and 4 centimeters dilated. If a woman is in active labor, she's yosheves al hamashper, certainly she is a nida. She has a din of a nida. If a woman is not in active labor, but she cannot stand on her own, she also has a din of nida. Okay? So those are very, very important factors to have. Now, lemaisa, what can you do when your wife's in such a situation? We know that there's something called, that we just talked about the harchakas nida. So, there's, b'chlal, a very big schmooze in the place that we talk about, is it mutter even to help her? If her husband's a doctor, if her husband's not a doctor, if a husband is sick, a woman to help him is much more kal. Because he's sick, he's not going to be, it's not going to be his ira to have relations with his wife. But if the woman is sick, so the place can discuss over there, it's much more chomer, the halacha is, it's much more chomer for the man, because the man might be overcome and be sorry. Okay. If it's e'efshir, there's a halacha l'maisa, if it's e'efshir, there's nobody else to help her, okay? You're not allowed to go and hold her hand for moral support, okay? If she has to be picked up, she's on the ground, you can pick her up, but you should pick her up there after begodim. It should not be done flesh to flesh, it should be done derech begodim or derech a pillow. Okay. Can you give her a drink? You shouldn't like you're handing things to her, but I mean, if she can't drink otherwise, if she needs it, you could. Yes. Okay. It's not that. Well, I didn't like that. Okay. I guess we'll stop. Meitzah Hashem next week. I would like to discuss the vestments.